If you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, the book of Proverbs is known as a book of wisdom. By and large, it's a collection of sayings and instruction that express basic truths for our lives that if we'll apply to our everyday life, they'll help us become more godly and, of course, more wise. And really, that should be the priority of every Christian, is to strive to become more godly and more wise each passing day. There's a verse over in Proverbs chapter 4, and the verse is found in verse 7. It's, wisdom is the principal thing. What's that saying there? It's just simply saying that wisdom is the most important thing that you and I can pursue in our life. One of the Hebrew words that is found in the Old Testament for that is rendered wisdom is the word chokmah, which big deal, none of us know Hebrew, but it speaks basically, it's the basic definition of wisdom is a person's ability to make right choices at opportune times. The ability to make right choices at opportune times. And really that's what wisdom boils down to is making decisions from day to day that will result in what is best for our lives. When you and I choose to do something that results in good, we always say, boy, that was a wise decision, right? When we do something, we make choices that result in bad, then we say, oh man, that was foolish of us. You see, that's the difference in wise wisdom and foolishness is the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, and how they will play out in our life is dependent on whether they are foolish or wise. In reality, we're not just going to make wise decisions. It's not just going to happen. It's more than just deciding, hey, I'm going to make wise decisions from here on out. It's not that simple. It boils down to being equipped to make right decisions. It boils down to having the right tools to be able to make choices and decisions that will affect us in the right way, in a positive way in our life. And the tools that I'm talking about, we're going to find here in Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to see them in our text. We're going to read half of the proverb, the first 11 verses, and it begins, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is the buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity and yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. We find two words in this text that are very important tools if you and I want to learn to walk wisely in this world for the Lord. The first one we're going to find in verse 6, and it's really the foundation of the whole process of gaining wisdom. And in verse 6 it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, watch this, out of his mouth cometh knowledge. That's our first word. That's the first tool, the foundational tool, really, for gaining wisdom and functioning wisely in our lives. Knowledge just simply means, I mean, it's pretty elementary, becoming aware of something. Knowledge. We gain knowledge, we become aware of it. We're no longer ignorant of it. We've gained that truth in our life. That's knowledge. If we do not gain knowledge, then we can never hope to make good choices and good decisions, which equates to wisdom, because we don't know the truths that are needed to make those choices. Consider this. If you and I, we have a child that's wanting to drive. And that in the natural course of things, that's eventually going to happen. Well, we would never just take that kid and put them behind the wheel of the vehicle and just send them on their way without having any kind of understanding of how a car operates or the rules of the road or traffic laws and such. If we did that, it would just be disastrous, would it not? It would be setting them up for failure. We just wouldn't do that. But do you know what, parents? People do it all the time. We send our kids out into the world with very little knowledge of God. We send them out in the world not understanding hardly any truth out of His Word. And then we hope and really anticipate and expect them to make it. We expect them to be able to navigate the twists and turns of life. We expect them to choose the right direction when they come to a crossroads in life. We think that somehow they're going to know to hit the brakes when danger is approaching. You see, we don't equip them. We send them out in hopes that somehow they're just going to arrive safely at the spiritual destination that we desire for them. And we think it's all going to be well. Well, it's not, folks. That's a dangerous position to put our kids in, to not equip them spiritually to go out and navigate this world. We often make the same mistake. Adults alike, we often put ourselves in that position. We don't seek to gain knowledge ourselves. And so without good truth of God's Word, without a knowledge of it, then we go out and try to navigate life. And we don't have the truths and the knowledge to navigate it appropriately. We do it to ourselves. We often, I don't say choose, but we remain ignorant of what God's Word says, and that puts us in a position that we're going to fail spiritually. That we'll make poor choices and poor decisions in life that will result in negative, which equates to foolishness. Notice where our answers come from. Verse 6 tells us, out of God's mouth cometh knowledge. Our learning comes from God's Word. And friends, it's not a crash course. It's a lifelong study, if you will, of the things of God. It's a lifelong exposure to truth. And gaining knowledge because of that exposure and just continually, essentially, going to the mouth of God for truth. That's what the Bible is. It's the mouth of God, as verse 6 tells us. We start out with very simple truths. We learn the Ten Commandments. That's a good thing. And then we maybe another simple truth, that we find the principles of the Beatitudes over in Matthew chapter 5. And then maybe it's the golden rule. Just simple things, very elementary things. It's just kind of Bible 101. That's okay. We got to start somewhere. But that's just the beginning. If we keep up and we stay exposed to God's Word, then we just gain more and more truth, more and more knowledge that's going to ultimately be the tool that's needed to go out and exercise wisdom in our life. And wisdom's the very thing that we need to bring good into our life. You see how it works? That's why it's so important. I believe that Sunday school is so important. Devotions, Bible reading, these things are things that help us continue to gain knowledge. But if we don't pursue knowledge, we'll never find it. It just doesn't happen. You stumble onto truths along the way, sure. But if we don't pursue it, we'll never truly find. Notice what it tells us in verse 3. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How does it say we find knowledge? By seeking it, by searching for it. We'll never get the instruction God has for us if we have dusty Bibles or dusty Sunday clothes. We're not going to find it. It's found by seeking and searching. Notice the metaphor he uses in verse 4. He speaks of it as silver or treasure, hidden treasure. Has anybody in here ever come onto a load of silver? No. Anybody ever come onto a treasure, a hidden treasure? No, we haven't. You know why? Because you don't just stumble onto those things. Those things are found by treasure hunters. Those things are found by miners of silver. You see, they go out and those things are not just laying on top of the ground, but they have to be dug for. They go to certain locations and they excavate and they dig and they get below the surface and they extract those precious goods out of the grounds. It's a very deliberate process. But you and I have a promise here that the typical treasure hunter doesn't have. We're told in God's word that we will find the treasure. He tells us in verse 5 there, it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Can you imagine being a treasure hunter and leaving out on Monday morning for your job having the promise that you're going to find the treasure? Well, we do. Some treasure hunters hunt for treasure their whole life and never find it. But we as believers have the promise God says you will find it. You search for it. You seek for it. You will find it. What a privilege. If we seek knowledge, we're guaranteed to find it. Sunday school, as I said, is so important to the church because its very name reflects its purpose. School. Sunday school, a place of learning, a place of teaching, a place of gaining knowledge. Sunday school, you see. Okay, and preaching and teaching are like treasures. Because why? There's knowledge in it. Not that myself or any other preacher or teacher here has any knowledge on their own, but we prepare the Word of God and bring it, and that knowledge is put out there, those precious doctrines and valuable principles and rich truths are put out there for everybody to get a hold of. Because you know why I do that? I do it for a number of reasons. One, I get paid to do it, okay? But more importantly, I know that from week to week, you guys and myself and my family are going to leave here and we're going to try to navigate the paths of life. And I don't want you or myself to do so ignorantly. I want us to all have a knowledge and an understanding of the things of God so we can go out and successfully operate with wisdom, navigate the paths of this world, to have the tools for success. So knowledge is the first tool, and the second tool we find here to live wisely is understanding. Verse 2 says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then what's this? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. One more verse, we find it in verse 9. It says, then thou shalt understand righteousness. Let's go back to our analogy of the teenage driver. We all have already agreed that we, for the better good of mankind, we wouldn't just put a kid behind the wheel and send them off without having a knowledge of the vehicle and traffic laws and the rules of the road and those sort of things. We understand we just don't need to do that. That'd be foolishness, right? So what do? We put them through driver's ed. We purposely put them in a classroom that is designed to teach them what is needed in order for them to get on the road and navigate safely. You see, we make a conscious choice to get our young people educated in driving before we put them on the road. That's a good start. But even when that takes place, they're learners and they get behind the wheel, and unlike what we all become later, somewhat unattentive to what we're doing, but we put them behind the wheel and they're still pretty cautious. because they're new drivers, and this knowledge is new to them, and they get out and you let them drive back and forth to school. They maybe run to the store for mom or dad, or maybe home from football practice they get to drive, just kind of getting their feet wet. They've gained the knowledge, but they're just kind of getting used to it all. But over time and experience, it becomes more than just that knowledge, you see. He or she begins to really get an understanding of driving. They begin to understand that it all makes sense to them. It all comes together that they need to look closely for motorcycles. They begin to understand why they look both ways at intersections. They begin to understand why you stop at the stop sign, David. If you ever rode with him, you know what I'm talking about, okay? They begin to understand the importance of not being on the phone in school zones and things like that. It starts to soak in, you see. It's not just the knowledge they started out with, but it's an understanding. And you get the picture, I think. We learn things, the things of God, and as we gain that knowledge, we begin to walk daily with that knowledge and put it into practice. Take those truths that we've learned and apply them to our lives, and then we begin to gain understanding. It's more than just knowing those things. We understand why they are there. We understand why they are useful for us. We understand why we should apply them to our lives. It begins to make sense, you see. And when we go from knowledge to understanding, our lives as believers become more of a flow of Christian life. You see, it just begins to flow. The knowledge has become a part of who we are. It's more than just a bunch of facts. It's more than just basic rules. But rather, we're living the things of God because we have an understanding of them. We have a grasp of them. It's part of who we are. For those of us that have been driving for many years, we drive without any kind of deliberate thought, do we not? I mean, really, think about it. The car becomes, or the vehicle becomes an extension of who we are. We walk out of the house in the morning and bleep, bleep, we unlock and we open the door and we climb in and we start the vehicle and we back out of the driveway and we go down the street for a moment and see a stop sign and David rolls through it and the rest of us stop. And then we go up 20th Street and then we hit 84 and on the way to Lubbock that morning we'll switch lanes numbers of times and we'll put our blinker on and take our blinker off and then we'll get into town and we'll stop at another light or two and then we'll arrive at our destination and we'll get out of our car and we'll close the door and we'll bleep bleep, we'll lock the door and we'll go into our job or the store or wherever we're heading, without ever having given a conscious thought to anything we just did. Is that not right? You didn't ever think when you were switching lanes. You didn't think about putting your blinker. It came natural to you. You didn't think about locking when you got out of the car. You just did it. It all comes together. We didn't deliberately consider any of it. It's just natural to us. Why? Because we have gained understanding. It's become a part of our lives. We understand everything surrounding driving. We've done it for a long time. Friends, that's the way God's Word is. When we gain knowledge, when we get those truths, then we apply them to our lives every day, and they become something that we just kind of understand. We realize the benefits of them. And folks, that's wisdom. That's just wisdom. There are many things that Trish and I learned in our early Christian lives that for a long time were just knowledge, okay? We were on fire for the Lord, and so we went to church and we learned, and we started going to Sunday school and gaining knowledge there, and we even started reading our Bibles in spite of really not understanding much of it. We read it anyway. But we started putting that knowledge into practice as a married couple, as a family. And we did it initially because it was just what God's Word said to do. So we did it. But then, over time, we began to gain an understanding of those truths and why they are important for our lives and why they need to be put into place. And it became a natural extension of who we are. I'm not going to lie to you. The first time I learned about tithing and giving to the Lord's work, it didn't make sense to me. That didn't make sense at all, to work hard for your money and then just go give it away. That's not natural. But we began to do it because God's Word said do it. We had knowledge of it, and so we acted on that knowledge. We began to do it. Now, folks, like many of you, it's just a part of who we are. We enjoy giving. We appreciate the purpose of giving. We like what it accomplishes in our life. We like what it teaches us, and we take joy in the blessings of being a part of something God has taught us, you see. We have understanding in that area. In a nutshell, we've taken what was really started out with just simple knowledge, lack of ignorance, and it's become a part of our life. And that's just for that area. There's 100 more that we could talk about in our spiritual lives. The path of wisdom, friends, is through knowledge and understanding. I want you to notice a very important area of understanding that this mentions. In verse 9, it says, "Then thou shalt understand righteousness." Folks, it's when we gain a proper understanding in the area of righteousness that we benefit the most. Practicing right and wrong is one of the biggest struggles that we have in our Christian life, is it not? The practicing of right and wrong. We've gained the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong, but the putting it into practice is the difficult thing. And we're aware of what God's Word says, but sometimes we simply don't do what's right. We don't put righteousness into practice. Therefore, we experience negative things, things that are not good for us. Sin always results in bad, and obedience always results in good. And so we miss out on the benefits, we miss out on the blessings of having obeyed God, and we experience the negative of having disobeyed God. That's foolishness, friends. And I know the attitude. I can judge the cover because I've read the book. I've been there. We say, well, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Or we say, oh, man, I know what the Bible says, but this is the 21st century. We're living in a different age, and I'm not going to let it get out of hand. I'm going to be fine. I'm in control, and I don't see what the problem is. It's not hurting anyone else. And all of these things, we've all said it. And friends, you know what that mindset reveals to us? Is that we really don't have a proper understanding of righteousness. We are lacking a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord. Notice verse 5. It says, "Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord." You know what the fear of the Lord is speaking of here, and the Bible speaks of? It's not a slavish fear of God that we're just petrified of Him, because God, our God's very approachable through His Son Jesus. But it's a reverential awe of who He is. That's the fear of the Lord. It's knowing who God is and His majesty and His holiness and just wanting to do right, wanting to please Him. I've told you this before, and the Fulgham's here and the Prices are, we grew up together, and they'll know who I'm talking about. But my my head coach through junior high, he was a head coach at Clarendon High School. And then in high school, I played under him. His name was Ted Allen. Now, this is not a perfect analogy, but I think you'll get the picture. I had such a respect for this man. He handled himself in such a way. He wasn't flawless, mind you, but he handled himself and he led us in such a way. I had such a respect for Coach Allen that I wanted to do the best I could when I was on that field or in practice or any other time. that I was around him. I just wanted to do my best for that man because he inspired that in me, you see. I held him in such esteem that I wanted. It wasn't a matter of, oh, here comes Coach Allen, I better straighten up. I just wanted to please him. He had such an impact on my life. That's the way the fear of the Lord is. It's not, oh, we better straighten up, here comes God. But God is so awesome. Let's live and please him. Let's make him happy. Let's bless him. The fear of the Lord inspires us to do right and please him. And we have when we lack understanding and righteousness, and we lack understanding of the fear of God, then we'll live reckless, undisciplined, unrighteous lives, and that's going to result in what? Missing out on good things in our life. Operating foolishly as opposed to wisdom. I'm asking you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, the last scripture, and we're done. But I want you to see something here. This parable given by the Lord Jesus Christ is the best description of what I'm talking about that we can find here in the Bible, I believe. Matthew chapter 7. And you'll know it when you hear it. Verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. Let's stop there for a moment. We see the knowledge. He heareth the sayings. You see, he's gained the knowledge. Then we see the understanding, because it says, and he doeth them. It becomes a practice in our life. And then he gets exactly what we're all really looking for. He's a wise man. Jesus says, I will liken unto him unto a wise man. You see, we see the whole thing played out in that verse. Now, I want you to notice the benefits of that. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. You see the benefits? It resulted in good. He experienced, the builder of this house he's speaking of here, he experienced the best for him. He experienced what was good for his life. His house fell not because it was built upon a rock. We can phrase it in another way. His life did not fall apart because it was built upon God's truth. Now that's wisdom. That's a choice that we can make. But I don't want to end here without seeing the negative side. If you're in photography or understanding it at all, you got to have the negative in order to get the positive, okay? In order to get the image you want, you got to start out with the negative, okay? Let's look at that. Verse 26, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now that's foolishness for you. Not having an understanding of what God wants for our lives, therefore we make poor choices and we make poor decisions. And like this fellow here in our text, our life falls apart because it was built upon something that God never intended it to be built upon. I'm going to ask you to stand. Folks, it's a simple formula, and it's certainly not anything I came up with. But God gives us a simple formula. He says, you want to operate wisely, you want to have the best for your life, here's where you start. You get knowledge, folks. We got to be in the Word of God. We got to learn God's Word. You get knowledge. And then you begin to practice that in your life, and it becomes understanding. It becomes a natural extension of who you are. And like we do in our vehicles, you'll leave here in just a few moments and you'll go eat and you'll go home without having given any deliberate thought to any of your actions. Because why? Driving that car is just an extension of who you are. It comes natural to you. God's truth will do the same thing for us. We're going to take a moment. If you'd like to come to this altar, nobody's going to be taking care of your business. You take care of your own. If God's spoken to your heart, you come.